At the top of the program today, Michigan health officials and physicians have launched an awareness-raising effort to get more young people vaccinated. The move comes after data showing an increase in the number of Michigan parents choosing not to get their kids vaccinated. Last year, more than 7,000 kindergartners alone in the state had some kind of vaccination waiver. Michigan is one of 20 states that allow such waivers for philosophical reasons. These waivers often include skepticism that vaccines are essential, that they may be harmful, and that not enough is known about the cumulative effect of various vaccines. Well, with the 2013 school year just a few weeks away, Current State thought we'd explore the issue some more. To help us with that, we welcome two guests. Dr. Matt Davis is Chief Medical Executive in the State Department of Community Health. Dr. Davis, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
And Mary Tocco is the Director of Vaccine Research and Education for the group Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines. She's also the creator of the website childhoodshots.com. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. Mary, let's start with you. When and how did you first become skeptical about vaccinations?
Well, Mark, back in 1980, when I was having my first child, I began to look at all the information that was available for parents on vaccinations, and I was shocked because there was very little information that was easy accessible. So I went on and I ordered about 15 books, which was every book I could get my hands on. And the more I read, the more concerned I was about what was being injected into our children. I learned about vaccine ingredients like mercury and aluminum and phenol, acetal, formaldehyde. And basically, we decided to not vaccinate our children on the information that I was able to gather. And then as I saw the number of vaccines go up, I also saw the autism crisis emerge, and I believe the two are directly related. So I continued researching, and now I am considered a vaccine expert, and I speak across America and Canada. I do not tell parents what to do or how to believe. I simply report the facts about vaccine production, ingredients, and let people decide what is best for them. Because really, I believe it is a medical health choice that parents must make for their children.
And what in 2013 concerns you the most in terms of the ingredients in vaccines?
Well, there still is mercury in the vaccines, even though they refer to it as a trace amount. It exceeds any safety levels that have ever been set. I'm very concerned about the aluminum levels. When they reduce the mercury, they increase the aluminum. And all of my research basically shows that we're giving our children injections of lethal doses almost. For many children, it is lethal or it can cause severe neurological damage. So I do believe the number one concern for myself and for parents out there as I speak and do radio programs is the safety of vaccinations and the ingredients. With the internet now, Mark, we have so much information available to us that a parent can simply Google a vaccine manufacturer's insert and see for themselves what kind of bioengineered viruses their children will be given or the levels of aluminum and mercury. And so really I think what's going on is we have a vaccine education revolution taking place where people are learning more and more about vaccines and they're not comfortable with what is happening.
Let's bring Dr. Matt Davis into the conversation. At the top here, Matt, what vaccinations does the state of Michigan require of kids attending school? Let's clarify that since we're just about at another school year.
Sure. So, Mark, like many other states in the United States, what we do in Michigan is to have a vaccine mandate for entry into kindergarten and then related to sixth grade as well. This was passed by legislators in an effort to protect the health of kids in the state and also to protect the health of the adults in their communities. In fact, we know from good examples that we've had from vaccines that not only has the rate of vaccine-preventable diseases like polio, diphtheria, pneumococcal disease gone down among children, but it has also decreased among adults, even those who haven't received these vaccines. So this is a very good idea for us as a community, and that's what led the state legislature to say this should be part of what we do here in Michigan for our kids and for our communities. So what we do is we recommend certain vaccines that are recommended by the CDC and require them for entry, and those are the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine, polio vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, hepatitis B, varicella, and meningococcal vaccine.
How do you respond to Mary Toko's concerns here over the components of these vaccines, though? I mean, she's mentioned some fairly lethal-sounding components, mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde. How do we put that in perspective?
These are common concerns that I hear. As well as being the chief medical executive for the state, I'm also a primary care pediatrician. And I have parents like Mary in my practice who express their concerns about what's in those vaccines. So here's how I respond. First of all, what's lethal here are the infections that we are designing vaccines and giving vaccines to prevent. That's what's lethal. Polio is lethal. Diphtheria is lethal. Pertussis can be lethal for infants. Measles can be lethal. Pneumococcal vaccine, meningitis can be lethal. Those diseases can be lethal. And that's been the marvelous improvement we've had in population health over the past century because vaccines have given us this gift of protection. A gift of protection when we can protect kids and communities and not have to worry about those individuals getting potentially lethal infections that vaccines can prevent. While it is true that when Mary started looking at this in 1980, there were certainly components of vaccines that would raise concern. Issues like mercury, for example, substances like mercury called thimerosal, have actually been removed from the vast majority of vaccines. Aluminum is part of them. Formaldehyde has been part of them. I think we would all be probably surprised if we took a look at the components of a lot of medications that are there.
But continue. Yeah. Continue.
What I think it's important to clarify the record about the association of autism and vaccines. That was proposed by a researcher in the United Kingdom named Andrew Wakefield, who has since been discredited for the inauthentic and actually falsified records that he put together. He has been removed as a member of the physician community in the United Kingdom, and his work has been removed from the record.
Mary Toko, let me follow up on that point with you. A number of the studies linking vaccinations to autism have been debunked. In your mind, where is the research on this?
Well, first of all, Dr. Matt, I did that. I don't think he addressed the issue of the toxicity level of the mercury and the aluminum. And I do believe that that is an issue that we must address. A trace amount of mercury, just so you know, In the allowable amount that's in water, for example, is we allow 200 parts per billion in drinking water. If we have 200 parts per billion of mercury, it is rendered a toxic waste. In fish, the allowable amount of mercury is up to 1,600 parts per billion. And the infant child vaccination that contains mercury contains up to 25,000 parts per billion. And also the flu vaccine for adults that contains mercury contains 50,000 parts per billion. I can go into the aluminum levels as well. So I don't think the doctor addressed that issue. And I think people really need to understand that there are two sides to this issue that most pediatricians never really address. Secondly, there is a tremendous amount of evidence that shows that the death rate from all of these infectious illnesses had dropped off dramatically, up to 90 to 100% before vaccines were even introduced. And credit has been given to the vaccinations for eradicating or reducing these illnesses when, in fact, scientific statistics show differently. For example, smallpox. Only 10% of the world got the smallpox vaccine, and yet you hear all the time that we have eradicated smallpox with the vaccination, and that just, you can't claim that with only 10% of the people in the world getting smallpox. So death rate for illnesses was down dramatically and does not warrant mass vaccinations, and I have all of this on my website under infectious illnesses.
Matt Davis, is there unfinished business here regarding toxicity levels? Your view, or is this issue been put to bed?
Well, I want to respond on a couple levels. First of all, I recognize that parents still have concerns. I'm a parent myself. I'm a health policy researcher at the University of Michigan as well.
And thimerosal is still a part of some influenza and tetanus and other vaccines.
It is still a part of some vaccines, though it has been removed from the majority of vaccines. And I think it's important for us to say if thimerosal, the mercury component that Mary's talking about, has been removed for vaccines in the time that autism has been increasing, then how scientifically can we make a connection between thimerosal and autism? It doesn't make scientific – there's no scientific connection there. And, in fact, all of the studies that have been done about mercury exposure through vaccines and autism have disproved any link. Furthermore, other concerns that parents have raised, and I do understand the concerns being raised, and when we look into them, for example, hepatitis B vaccine and multiple sclerosis, those have also been disproved. I certainly understand the sense that parents don't want to expose their kids to unnecessary risk. But the fact of the matter is that when you look at the history of infectious diseases, the dramatic decline in infectious disease occurred with vaccines, not prior to vaccines.
Mary Tocco, let's get you to respond to that point.
What
about situations where the threat of the disease, say measles, appears to clearly outweigh any potential threat from the vaccine?
Well, first of all, I will say that as we have increased the number of vaccines, we also have chronic illness in children going up. And there has not been any studies whatsoever to disprove that vaccines do not lead to autism. They basically have not done the proper studies. The studies that have been done have been found to be terribly flawed. People could go to a website called 14studies.org, and they can look at every study that the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics references, and they will find that there's a tremendous amount of conflict of interest. The studies are funded by the drug companies who make the vaccines. The safety studies are just not done properly. Secondly, I will say that there is a tremendous amount of conflict of interest in all of the regulatory boards in Washington. So many people do not trust what's coming out of the CDC or the FDA. So that's one way I would respond. Also,
let's let Matt Davis respond to that.
I think it's a very fair comment that there is conflict of interest. We know there is conflict of interest between the pharmaceutical industry and regulatory authorities. I totally agree with Mary about that. That's why I think as parents and as primary care clinicians, pediatricians, family physicians, nurse practitioners, et cetera, we need to make informed decisions about how we try to protect our kids' health. I have parents like Mary and her families in my practice who have opted out of vaccinating their kids, not just to say I don't want the mandate, but actually say I don't want the vaccines. I understand that decision. I have those families in my clinic, and I try to help protect those kids against situations where they may be exposed to multiple other vaccine-preventable diseases that I am positive those families don't want their kids to have. But I will say from my experience in my practice over the last decade and a half that many of those families have decided to vaccinate their kids. Why? Because they have had cousins or relatives or even one of their kids die as a result of a vaccine-preventable disease like pertussis. These are preventable diseases. It is a tragedy when one of them takes one of our kids' lives.
Yeah, Matt Davis, has enough been studied with regard to the combination, the cumulative effects of all of these? I mean, a young person can get an awful lot of vaccinations. I want to say I read 2 dozen. It's not uncommon for a six-year-old to have had 2 dozen vaccinations by that age. Do we know enough about that?
I would say I would like to see continuing research on the safety of vaccines. I think we need to continue to do it because as we try to protect our kids, we need to make certain that the balance of benefit outweighs any risks.
Mary, what about the cumulative effects of these vaccines? I know that's on your radar.
Yes. I would say, first of all, in other countries where they have not vaccinated before the age of 2, such as Japan, they have seen SIDS rates and other things go away because the vaccines were causing SIDS. I guess the best analogy for me to make, and this is something that I can just ask everybody, if I took an apple and I injected that apple with phenol and acetone and thousands of bioengineered viruses that are made in laboratories that are not found in nature and millions of bacteria and some aluminum and phenol, would you eat the apple or would you feed it to your infant?
Well, it's different being spread out over a period of years, though, wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's a pretty toxic scenario that you create there. But
yes,
over a period of years, doesn't that change the dynamic?
No, I think if you just took a regular vaccination and injected it into an apple, those are the ingredients that you would find in the average vaccine. People can go to a website, novaccine.com, and look up all the ingredients. But my point is we don't feel comfortable eating phenol and acetone or formaldehyde and millions of viruses and bacteria that are bioengineered in a lab. How can we possibly think that it's acceptable to inject this into newborn children who have underdeveloped immune systems the day they're born? The hepatitis B vaccination, aluminum levels are off the chart for hepatitis B vaccine.
Mary, we're just about out of time. Let's give Matt Davis a brief second to respond here. Matt.
Okay.
I think Mary's points about what we're injecting into our kids, I certainly understand as a level of concern as a parent. I get it. I want to be able to say to my families that I vaccinate, that I help that vaccinate their kids, and that as the chief medical executive for the state that we're requiring for entry into school, that this is worth the investment in our kids and worth any risk that's there. I firmly believe that the program we have in place in our state is designed to protect kids, and it does a great job of doing that.
I'm afraid we've got to leave it there. Mary Tocco is the Director of Vaccine Research and Education for the group Michigan Opposing Mandatory Vaccines. Dr. Matt Davis is Chief Medical Executive in the State Department of Community Health. Thanks to both of you.